Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The case against Tariq Mahana, a young man from Sudbury, pushes the U.S. war against terrorism into some very murky ground. Among the biggest questions it raises are these. How far can or should the government go to prevent a terrorist attack before it occurs?
And is expressing support for al-Qaeda and translating jihadist writings tantamount to committing acts of terrorism? Or does the government's case violate Tariq Mahana's First Amendment rights?
So here's a little background. Federal agents arrested Tariq Mahana 2 years ago on federal terrorism charges. The allegations were grave. The government said Mahana had sought training at a terrorist camp in Yemen, that he discussed a plan to shoot up a shopping mall and assassinate U.S. government officials.
Now, Mahana never got the training, never got the weapons, and never shot up a mall. But the government alleges Mahana talked about those plans and that he also translated jihadist texts that promoted and encouraged acts of violence. In short, prosecutors portray him as a terrorist in the making, eager to incite others to commit acts of terror.
Mahana's trial began in Boston Federal District Court last week, and WBUR's David Boeri is covering the case. Hi there, David.
Hi, Magda.
So before we get to the specifics of what he's been charged with, David, I want to back up a bit. And who is Tariq Mahana?
Tariq Mahana is an American-born product of the suburbs, the affluent suburbs, went to Lincoln Sudbury High School. His father is a professor of pharmacology. He himself is a pharmacologist. He graduated in 2008. Here's a kid. We have pictures of him trying to play baseball, sitting in Santa Claus's lap. And how you get from that to becoming an advocate for and a fan of Osama bin Laden, someone you call your real father. That's an interesting arc.
So, David, what is it that the government alleges that Mahana did?
So, according to the government's portrait of Mahana, he becomes radicalized, then seeks to go overseas. He goes to Yemen. Now, his defense will tell you that Yemen is the place where true Islamic scholars go to study antiquity. The government says he went to Yemen to get training as a jihadist, to go to Iraq and kill Americans. They quote Mahana saying he wanted to kill Americans in Iraq. Now, by the government's own case, he never gets picked up by any terrorist group. He didn't make it. In fact, according to the government's case, he has never committed any overt acts of violence. But they say that he's provided material support, and he's charged with providing material support as well as lying to FBI agents and also going overseas to that Yemen camp in order to kill Americans.
So, as you said, he's charged with this thing called providing material support to terrorists. That's one of the main charges he's facing. And that's specifically because he made a translation of a book called 39 Ways to Serve and Participate in Jihad, which apparently, if I understand correctly, David, is kind of like an al-Qaeda textbook.
It is. It is an al-Qaeda textbook. It had not been translated into English. The government says, here's your translator, the guy that became the English language wing of al-Qaeda's propaganda machine. The charges, at the heart of this case, are these charges of providing material support. When the statute was first proposed in the 1990s, there was a requirement that the prosecutors tie acts, substantive acts, to terrorism to get a conviction under that. After 9/11 and the U.S. Patriot Act, the standard became much lower for the federal government to meet. Now it was providing expert advice or help. In this case, the government would define that as making translations from Arabic to English that opens it up, makes it accessible to fundamentalists and encourages them to wage jihad.
Okay, but on the other hand, I presume that there are many people out there, including Mahana's defense team, who would say that merely doing a translation of a text is not equal to providing advice or help to a terrorist organization, in effect that making a translation is not a crime.
Here is where you have the war on terror clashing with what the defense would say are First Amendment rights. The defense would say this is protected speech. One of his defense attorneys says, yeah, what he said was stupid, it's disturbing, it's offensive, but they're words. We don't put people in jail in this country for words. Here's his other attorney, J.W. Carney.
I believe this case is about the defendant's right to express his views publicly on a controversial subject. In the United States, that freedom of speech is what makes us great, what makes us strong, and what makes us free.
So, David, but on the other hand, I mean, I know that this case is happening in the context of, say, for example, not that long ago, Anwar al-Awlaki was an American-born cleric in Yemen who was absolutely connected to acts of terrorism. He was killed by a U.S. drone strike. But it seems to me that what the government might say in return is that, so we are worried that a future generation of American-born terrorists such as al-Awlaki may be influenced by having access to English translations to these al-Qaeda texts.
That's right. That is what they're claiming, that making it accessible was his crime, not the overt acts, because he commits no overt acts, according to the government's case, in terms of terrorism, waging terrorism. It's the translations. It's the statements. It's conveying to the world jihad and the objectives of al-Qaeda. In the course of reporting, I spoke to one counterterrorism expert, nationally recognized Jared Brackman, and here's what he had to say.
You don't have to just blow something up to advance the al-Qaeda cause. Writing a book or translating a book or making an internet post can be just as dangerous.
WBUR's David Boeri, thank you so much.
You're welcome.